بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى
اله. I'd like to welcome you all to the 8th lecture.
We all mashallah here on time, 9:45.
Before we
begin, this is a near honor of the point. We're going to begin with an editorial note. If in the future you ever hear anyone say that there's no need to study ulum al-hadith, you should be ready with a response. All of you should be ready with a response.
What are you doing?
Give him space. This is new 386.
So, okay.
So why don't you move it through for
you? Another long one.
Okay. First of all, if you want to find or read about the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you're going to have to read his hadith. In any book on hadith, you're going to find these terms that we're talking about. Marfu', maqtu', munqata'. You're going to find terms like Ruwahu al-Hakim, Qala Sahih al-Shart al-Bukhari. You have to know how much weight to put in these, what he's saying, trustworthy or not. So, the Sunnah, the second source of Islam and part of the Revelation, any book you read on the Sunnah is going to have these terms. Secondly, all the other sciences related to the deen are built upon these sciences of ulum and hadith. If you pick up any book of tafsir, it's going to have hadith in it. If it has hadith in it, it's going to use these terms. If you pick up any book of fiqh, it's going to have hadith in it, it's going to use these terms. And even usul al-fiqh, they try to discuss these terms in usul al-fiqh, but because they are theorists, they don't do a very good job. any book on usul al-fiqh, you'll read chapter on jarh wa ta'dil and so forth.
By the way, Sheikh, By the way, the Sheikh didn't say that Al Khalifa was a report.
Yes, he did.
But yeah. He makes some exclusion. It's not important to go into a lot of detail.
Third.
At least he doesn't agree. I think he doesn't agree.
Third, and if some people try to use the terms of ulum al-hadith when they write about something, they use the terms incorrectly and they try to fool the reader. Like someone writing about Surat al-Tarawih, he said that a certain hadith is muttarab. We'll learn later what muttarab is. He used the term incorrectly to try to prove his point. Okay. So in order to catch those things, you have to know about the hadith.
So what's the second point?
Second point is all of the other sciences use these terms and use the hadith. Whether it's fiqh or tafsir or history, seerah, all of them. So you're going to come across these terms in almost any book you read related to deen. Fourth, also, as we know, the Orientalists and some ignorant Muslims are attacking the Sunnah nowadays. And the only way to reply to them in a good, knowledgeable manner is by studying these sciences. And fourth, also, or fifth, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a way of increasing your yaqeen or your certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this deen in the way that he revealed.
Sheikh, there's a point. When what was sometimes mentioned is not that important. Not that important because there is somebody who already made the rule and everything is ready and listen, somebody look for it and say it's sahih or da'if and so on. And so don't spend that. This is the point I mean.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Because that's the same for Ulum al-Quran, it's the same for Usul al-Fiqh, same for everything. Except maybe economics, that's the only exception I can. Islamic economics.
Can you mention the first point and the third point?
The first point was that the Sunnah is the second source of Islam. And any time you want to find out what the Sunnah is, you're going to have to read Hadith. Any book of Hadith is going to contain these type of terms that we're using. We're studying here. Third point is some people use these terms when they write about fiqh or other things, and they use the terms either incorrectly or without knowledge. Like someone we all know.
Please, I have a point, sir.
Yeah.
What about those books now, the big collections, hadith, yeah, that they were yani only makhtuta?
Yeah.
What's makhtuta?
Manuscripts.
And nowadays they were yani
published.
Aren't we supposed, somebody yani supposed to know how to yani judge this hadith? Because the argument the Sheikh mentioned that it's already there yani. Lots of ulama spent their whole life yani, doing this.
Yani, there are some hadith yani, that we can still study nowadays and read. And even more importantly, as I said, yani, to understand what the ulama of hadith said about those hadith. Mm-hmm. And in order to understand what the ulama of hadith said about the hadith, you have to have some knowledge about the hadith. If, for example, you don't know anything about hadith and you consider studying ulama hadith as unimportant. So you take a hadith, and after the hadith it says وراه الترمذي وقال حسن غريب. What you gonna think about that? He said حسن غريب. What does this mean? You're just gonna skip it? You're gonna find this statement in books of tafsir, in books of fiqh, sur al-fiqh, and all the other sciences are built upon actually ulum hadith. Yani they cannot avoid ulum hadith.
There is many books that, in fact, Islam is, everybody tried to make something wrong in Islam, and that there is no ulama in this part. So they would make whatever they want in the old books, and if nobody knows, maybe they were bad about it.
Yeah, there's no question, Annie, that this ilm is part kifaya during all generations. Okay? But I'm not talking about those specialists, I'm talking about just the common person like you or me.
Yeah.
Okay? I can bring you just a book like Fiqh al-Sunnah that everyone uses and discuss some of those terms and some of the things he says and some of the hadith. And you have to be familiar with the ulum hadith to really understand what he's saying. Well, sometimes the author himself doesn't know what he's saying, but he quoted it from some book and he put it there. Sometimes the thing that actually he wrote is the opposite of what the author thinks he's saying.
More important also, Sheikh, is the fatwas. When you read from fatwas, whether listen or hear it from some, they use some hadiths which are not authentic sometimes.
Yeah.
It's better for Muslims to differentiate between different fatwas in the same problem.
Yeah.
Different hadiths.
So in the future, if the cream, you don't have to look for me. Someone makes a statement like that, just go ahead and respond. Doing it like a dray.
No, the dray is the thickest here.
Anything to drink tonight, Jareed?
No.
Okay. So where did we leave off last time?
More characteristics.
Characteristics of what? Okay, did we finish those?
Almost.
I don't know, he said yes. Well, he said yes because he's looking at my notes, so he knows.
I said almost because you mentioned many of them. I don't know if it's all of them.
So, inshallah, we will assume that we finished them. Now we come to the next question, is how can someone be confirmed as Adam? By the way, there's one question that Jure asked last time, which we'll discuss maybe next time. He asked about al-Bukhari, how come his name is from al-Bukhara and his name is al-Jurri? We'll discuss that next time.
But Jurri is a tribe or a place?
That's what I'm trying to say. In Iraq, yeah. In northern. So how can someone be confirmed as Adam? What are the ways? Basically two ways. I like no one has written the textbook. I don't know why I bought it. These textbooks, I haven't checked. It's a very nice book. Someday, years from now, you look at it and say, oh, that's
a
nice book.
Do you have to read the head?
Really? In the class, don't you read the head?
No.
No wonder. No wonder. Arab students do so poorly. So how can someone be confirmed as that?
You said that.
One of the ways is by, we call it fame. I'll call it fame. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? This is what fame means. Okay. So what do I mean by that in this context?
Sweet.
He's well known with it.
Yeah. I mean, his position in ulama hadith and transmitting hadith and being adil and bawbis is well known. There's no question about it. And for example, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, one time he was asked about Ahmed, about Ishaq ibn Rahway.
Rahway.
Actually, from Lum al-Hadith, or the scholars of Hadith, his name is pronounced sometimes Rahway and sometimes Ruhuya. Most of the time, the people of Hadith, they pronounce it Rahuya, because Huwai in Persian means the devil, Shaitan. So they don't like to call him Rahuya, although it's probably actually his name. So Ahmed was asked about Ishaq, him in Rahuya, and he said, yani, you ask about people like Ishaq? He asks about other people, not you ask about him. So people like Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, the other great scholars of Hadith, they are confirmed, yani, they are well known. And also one thing about being famous is that if they do something wrong, it's going to be spread. Yani. If someone like Imam Malik was seen drinking wine or something, yani, everyone is going to know about it. Everyone's going to say, I saw him yani, doing that, or I heard him doing that. So yani, being famous also keeps the person away from doing and he has the status, he has the position, he has responsibility. So he's even more careful about doing haram because he knows everyone is watching him. Okay? So that's one way. What's the other way?
Other adul saying that he's adil.
Other adul saying he's adil. Okay, first of all, is that sufficient? He said other adul. What's wrong with that? And it's not...
It's necessary but not sufficient. Huh?
Yeah, necessity. There's some condition missing there.
How do we know the other?
Suppose
it's
one of these,
for example, let's say. And it's someone that we know is Adam. But what did we talk about last time? one of the things we talked about is the conditions for the one who is making Jafar Ta'dib, right? Is this sufficient to be a critic?
Thiqa.
Yeah, let's say thiqa instead of that. Question is that sufficient?
Come on, they have to know him and know his life and know his.
Yeah, but no, we're just talking about this person.
Yeah,
just
last night,
it was less than 24 hours. Thank you, Jerry. Could you get that?
It's
not sufficient, why? Yeah, if I am Adil, okay, can I start saying that Naif is a liar again? And Khalil Jureid is a liar?
No.
What else then?
He has
to meet the other conditions. Okay? So not another adul or other adul saying that he's thiqa, but other people who are qualified in jafar. I told you to get that from me. Other people who are qualified in the science of jafar ta'dil saying that he's adul. Okay, not just someone who's adul. People who are qualified in the science of jafar ta'dil.
How do we say that?
In English or in Arabic? Yeah, I mean the critic. ناقد يعني one who is a critic, he's qualified to be critic. Someone who's qualified to be critic grades the person as being adil. Okay. And is one so critic? You should know this. Critic or ناقد. Right? And someone who critiques narrators.
Because you go there.
Okay, is one sufficient? If one critic says, "Yani so and so is added, does not is added, is that sufficient?"
Saad Madhab
says it is sufficient if there's no one who makes the tajreed for the person.
No, there's no other naqid who makes the tajreed.
Okay. Very good point. No other naqid who makes the tajreed. No other critic who makes the tajreed. How does that sound?
I don't have any other.
لكن الأمر واسع يعني ممكن في اختلاف follow anyone يعني you want. طيب يعني that's a good way. Most علماء, okay, some say like that, that one is sufficient and if there's no contradiction. Most علماء say at least two. Okay. At least two critics. Like the witness شاهد, you have to have two people making tazkiyah for him before he's accepted. They make qiyas.
Are there non-critics in the sense?
Yes, did we mention some? Yes. Last time we mentioned some. Sufyan al-Thawri, Amr al-Sha'bi, Sha'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, Dhahabi was from much later period, Ahmed ibn al-Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Yahya al-Qattan. Yeah, I'll give you, I have a table. I didn't bring it because I figured people never look at it. I have a table of the major critics of each generation.
Like,
can you read it?
They're
saying that he's not Adam. No, we're not talking about that yet. How can someone be confirmed as Adam? Okay? If two of them say he's Adam without any contradiction, we will discuss contradiction later. If two scholars, two critics, or scholars of Jafar al-Tahdid say he's Adam, then we accept him as Adam. Okay? Now, the question though, the question that comes up is that do these two critics, do they have to explain why he's adl, or if they make tajreed for him, do they have to explain why they make tajreed for him?
Yeah, they should explain why they make.
He's your student, so don't worry, he's following your mother.
Last night you said that it's enough to say one word that he's not adl.
Okay, if for example...
For adl or for jahl?
Okay, we're going to extend it to both. Does someone have to explain it if he's... if I say Naif is Adam, do I have to explain why I say it's Adam? Okay, there's I think five opinions on this.
Either yes or no.
Yeah. Well, okay, we will extend the question to also Tajri.
That makes noise.
Okay. The first opinion... opinion of the Jamhur or the majority of the ulama. They said we're extending this to both Adl and Jahl, so in the future we don't have to discuss it. Again. If you make ta'dil, no explanation needed. Adl and Jamhur, كما قال السيوطي في تدريب الراوي.
It's possible, ain't
it? Yes, it is right. As the Suyuti said in Tadiru Rawi, the majority of the scholars have this opinion. That's why I wrote Ta'dil in English.
Can.
Tajri must be explained.
Can't you scan it someday, Jean?
See the little screen on the cassette recorder? Okay, what's the, why is this such a popular opinion? What does it mean? To say someone is adl, what are you saying actually?
He has all.
Okay, so if you're going to explain it, how are you going to explain it? He prays five times a day. he fasts the month of Ramadan, he pays zakat, he made hajj once or twice. And he doesn't, he doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't
make
a So the point that they're making is that the idea is it's well known what makes a person adam. And so therefore, yani, if they're going to explain it, they're going to need 10 pages for each sharaw he goes at. So it's sufficient to say that. But what about this? Why do they say tajreeh must be explained?
You need only one.
Okay, first of all, you only need one. Yeah, you can just say he's a liar. Okay. Or he has a bad memory. He makes lots of mistakes. Okay. What else though? What's another point?
You know exactly what the critics had in mind.
Why?
To check it.
To check it and also to...
What other critics say the same?
Not just to check it, but also because sometimes when it comes to tajreeh, especially for those strict scholars, they might reject someone, and the reason they reject them is not sufficient.
Because there are different opinions for tajreeh.
For example, the one who talks too much, the guy who rejected the scholar because he talks too much, and he has suspicion about anyone who talks too much. So therefore they say the jinnah must be explained. What's the second?
Should be the opposite.
That's why, for example, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you might find some narrators that other scholars made tajreeh for. What happened was either that tajreeh was not explained, and other scholars said he's adil, or their explanation was not satisfactory to al-Bukhari and Muslim. They have the second the second is the opposite of that. For ta'dil you need an explanation. For tajreeh you don't need an explanation. Now my editorial comment at the beginning of the class, I mentioned that people of Usul al-Fiqh, they have a tendency to discuss these points also. So this is the opinion of Imam al-Haramain, al-Ghazali, and al-Razi.
Which al-Ghazali?
Not the one, Abu Hamid, Muhammad ibn al-Ghazali. He was also Usul, he wrote the Mustasfa. Okay? So this is basically the opinion of the Usuliyin. Okay? And the problem with the Usuliyin, as I said, they are mostly theoreticians. They are not actually in practice. They do not actually practice these sciences. Like people have PhDs in different fields. Compared to someone who actually goes out and does the...
Who is
the other guy? Al-Ghazali, Fakhruddin al-Razi, and Imam al-Haramain.
Al-Juwayni?
Al-Juwayni.
أبو المعالي؟ وكيف هذا أبو المعالي؟ الكبير؟
He's more of a philosopher. Okay, what's their explanation? Well, how can they say this? They don't consider ghibah, but they say any people might be not shy, but they might hesitate to say something bad about someone else. So they say tajreeh doesn't need an explanation, and they say ta'dil. They said it's not a strong opinion. So the yin. Next fall, of course, if we have the course in Usul al-Fiqh, I'll be saying yes, that's the correct opinion. Okay, the third opinion. Okay, third opinion is you need an explanation for either ta'jir or tajreeh. Explain. Okay. What's the reasoning behind this one? Okay, the reasoning for explaining tajreeh is the same as up here. The same reasoning applies. But why do they say also you have to explain ta'jir?
Make sure that you can do our points. You consider all points.
Consider all points, or perhaps also there's some degrees of adam, like there's some
Yeah, there are degrees of adl, but that could be that is not really related to this here exactly.
It's not by yoga giving the.
Well, the basic argument is that the person may make ta'til for the wrong reason also. We said up here he might make tajrid for the wrong reason. So here he might make ta'til. Like the person who said about one of the narrators, Ahmed ibn Yunus. One person called Yaqub al-Fasawi said about Ahmed ibn Yunus, I heard the people saying that he is weak, but that's only because the Shia are upset with his father. And if you see his beard, the length of his beard, and his humility, you'll know that he is. So he's saying, and if you look at his beard and his humility, he must be tafa. So in other words, he's making ta'dil for the wrong reason. What's the response to that? And how do these people respond to that argument?
What do you mean? The Jumhur?
Yeah, the Jumhur. They say this is the case. How do they respond to that argument I just said? That maybe the ta'dil is for the wrong reason. And they give that example. Not that it's very rare, but what are the conditions for that? For a critic?
That
being
the problem
Yeah. Obviously, this person who said, yeah, you can see his beard and his humility, yeah, he doesn't know anything about Jahl Ta'dil. Right? So the problem is not that he's making Ta'dil for the wrong reason, the problem is he's not qualified to make Ta'dil. That's how they answer that. Although this is a good method, because it's safe. It's always good to be safe.
Can you explain both?
Explain both, yeah. Of course, when you explain Ta'dil, you don't. You just say, yani, he is good person.
Moves their life from the sky, obviously.
Yani, that's. The fourth one is you have to explain. Neither of them. And this is the opinion of actually Qadi Abu Bakr al-Baqlani, al-Iraqi, Jindin al-Iraqi, and al-Bukhayli.
Hello?
Al-Bukhayli.
Not al-Balqayli?
لا, that's
Al-Bu?
Al-Bukhayli. ما في
Al-Bukhayli. What's the second one?
The second one is Zayd al-Din al-Iraqi, very famous muhaddith.
What about the second one?
First one.
No, I mean the third one, explanation of both. This is the opinion of both you just mentioned.
I didn't mention?
No.
That's the opinion of Khatib al-Baghdadi and many of the Usuliyin. Also. This is many of the Usuliyin, but these are like the Shafi Usuliyin. Imam al-Razi wal-Ghazali wal most of the others.
Al-Khatib
al-Baghdadi also. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi you should know because he's the only one who has written a complete book about almost every aspect of ulum al-Hadith. He has a book about traveling in search of Hadith. He has a book about yani adab of taking Hadith. He has a book about someone, people who used to know Hadith and then they forgot them. Yani almost anything you could imagine he has a book about it, so he should remember his name, Khatib.
So what is the argument?
What's the argument here? Yeah. What is it? Nothing new.
It's enough for this condition for the critics has to meet for him to be any accepted without any explaining.
Did anyone understand what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, the reasons for tajrih and the reasons for ta'dil are well known among the scholars. So if a scholar, yani someone knows, yani there's no reason to ask him to explain it. Okay?
But the point comes like this, and this is so spiritual.
Yeah, but this, yani this person would be known, yani not to be...
like Malik, when he said that stuff.
The jah,
yeah.
He didn't explain it. That's why I said the explanation is always better, it's always safer. But here's what Ibn al-Athir, who's also one of these this opinion, he wrote
fourth opinion, huh?
Yeah. He said it is not necessary to mention the reason in either case Because if the person is not an expert in the field, then his jahl wa ta'dil will be rejected. And if he is an expert, then there's no need to ask him about the reason. Okay?
We assume that.
Yeah,
is that we know this person that he knows the rule of hadith, the rule of tijar ta'dil.
Yeah.
In this case, we assume that the scholar is very well known.
Yeah. Okay, let's assume that. We will assume that.
But we'll get from the qualification.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the scholars of tijar ta'dil are well known. You can check what he said with what other scholars say, and if they disagree a lot, yeah, you'll know that he is not true. But what's the problem with this one? Why is this not the opinion of the majority, for example?
Because it has both the
problems of all the other.
Because human errors can be
when you talk about the being it doesn't matter which jihad. You're applying principles, and if you do not show people how you're applying the principles, there's no way for us really to see whether or not you're correct or not. The fifth opinion is that by Ibn Hajar, he said that if someone is categorized as adil, someone stated to be adil, okay, and then someone makes tajrih for the same person, then the tajrih will not be accepted without explanation. Okay, if someone is stated by scholars to be adil, then the tajrih will not be accepted without explanation. That makes sense, Abu Kareem?
For me, yeah, lots.
Is that the first thing that we discussed so far that makes sense?
No, I mean,
between these?
It's a particular case.
What's the problem with this?
For what? Yeah, somebody said it to be...
The problem with this is that it's not a basis vector. It doesn't span the whole... that's for those of you taking linear algebra. What I mean by that is it doesn't cover all the possible cases. Yeah, it still makes sense. The best thing is that this one goes with this one.
Which is the first?
The first one and the fifth go together. Okay, this is a corollary to the first one. Because by itself it does not cover the whole possibility.
What's the difference between the one and the first?
One says that the tajrih has to be explained in all circumstances. The idea that What he's basically saying is that the tajrih reading will not be accepted in general if someone is stated to be adil, except unless it's explained.
So if someone is known to be adil and then someone makes tajrih for him, then he should explain.
It has to be explained or proven.
Okay.
For example, Yahya ibn Ma'in said about the Imam Shafi'i is not taqa. Yeah, he has to say, what's his evidence for that? Because all the ulama made ta'adil for him.
What was
it?
He
didn't have a name. Ibn Abbas, he said the scholars are more jealous of each other than the goat when he's on his... the one from Taif, you like. That's the only thing I remember from Taif. We go to the lake, we see the goats. We go to the zoo, we see the khanzir. Now we have
Khanzir.
Nice. You have two types of Khanzir in the Zoom type. European
and American.
Say it. What's wrong?
Gazoo.
What's wrong, Sheikh? Yeah, is there anything wrong?
Yes, I know.
It's not in the 05.
Yeah, only.
Huh?
Only the 05. Riyadh Mabin.
Mabin? Have any questions about this? This is the opinion of most scholars.
It was an experimental balloon, Sheikh. See the response.
Huh? This one is Ibn Hajj's opinion.
You may join the special cases.
The special case is the first section.
Yeah, there is another one, Haytham. In Hajj al-Haytham. Yeah, so it's good you understand.
In Ulum al-Hadith, there is certain terminology. For example, if I say Rawahu al-Bukhari, that means in his Sahih. He has many other books besides his Sahih. If you say Ibn Hajj, that means Al-Asqalani. If you mean Al-Haytham, you have to say it.
And also you mean Al-Bukhari, Ahmad ibn Ismail. Ahmad ibn Ismail, not others, huh?
And remember, these things are happening while the people are alive. So they have the chance to respond. Yahya ibn Ma'in says, "I'm a da'if. Look, shufanas."
But Ibn Hajar here agrees with the first.
Yes, but he just.
No, that if see, nobody anymore. He's adil. The jury has to be, doesn't have to be explained. That nobody said that he's adil.
Yeah, I think,
So he's with the second.
At that point he's with the second. I think so. I can check. Okay. I have any questions about this? How to confirm someone is the
house?
Keep going. Does it the question?
The way someone is confirmed to be adil, either by fame or by two critics of hadith stating him to be adil. Under that, does that adil have to be explained or not?
So
when we come to jarh, okay, or tajrih, the same thing applies. Two scholars make jarh for him, do they have to explain or not? The same discussion.
Two conditions.
Huh?
There are many
two ways. Either by fame or by two scholars.
Yeah, when you say somebody's adil, we know nobody's perfect except God. What is the minimum criteria to set for somebody's adil?
Okay, they differentiated in between. It's not all one category, we'll get to that. We mentioned, for example, Yahya ibn Ma'in, if you found one or two mistakes from a rawi, khalas.
Can Shatan and Shaykh Rahul Nam Khalid?
Huh?
Shatan and Basri.
What about him? He was from the people who passed on many hadith, but he was not from the scholars of Roman hadith. Different. Okay.
Do you or anybody before you try to summarize the number of people that passed the hadith? And how many? Like 10,000?
Yeah, you can find it in the books of Tarajim, the biographies. For example, Bukhari in Tariq al-Kabir, he has 40,000 narrations. Okay. Ibn Abi Hatim in Al-Jahw al-Ta'bir has something like 25,000. In the six books, in the six well-known books, there's something like 12,000 narrators, 15,000, you can find them in the Tahrim al-Kabir.
How many we have nowadays?
Pardon me?
How many people we have nowadays?
Nowadays, who are what?
Scholars.
Scholars in hadith? Alhamdulillah, we have quite a few hours. Not more than that.
What's their job?
Go back to the editorial notes.
I think, are they critic or...?
They are still critique, or using the knowledge of the earlier scholars sometimes to discuss some hadith that maybe earlier scholars mentioned, they discuss it again to make sure that their opinion was correct or to see if they maybe made.
Because what the Sheikh is saying is that if someone has, ilm al-hadith, they say about hadith, Sahih or Bukhari, if they make already the investigation, then there is no need for
people right now are in trust of hadith to make a further
match.
That's what he says.
That's true for example, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir by Tabarani has, it's 25 volumes published. 25 volumes.
In Tariq. In Tariq.
No, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir hadith.
Hadith.
Okay. It has 25 volumes. Some of these يعني, have not been discussed, some of these hadith have not been discussed in detail by the scholars, hadith previously. And Al-Haythami, Ibn Hajar Al-Haythami, he discussed many of them, the Zawa'id and the Tabarani, but he did not really discuss them in detail. There's even a Muslim, the largest one known by, This is the largest musnad that we know of. Larger than Musnad Ahmad. And many of the hadith there have not been
published.
You
said there's not enough knowledge.
In the future, because Sahihain is different from any of the other books.
Yeah, that's why
we'll discuss it. So, any other questions? About anything? It's open day.
So, Tabari is a scholar of hadith.
Tabari is also a scholar of hadith. He has a collection called Tahdhib al-Athar.
Who's the
Tabari? He's also a historian, he's also a professor.
Tabari or
Tabari? Abu Ja'far Tabari.
I have a comment about the importance of Al Hadith.
I'm playing.
In addition to the points you have mentioned, wouldn't you say that it's also tends to narrow the, if you study and it would narrow the difference in opinion.
Yes, it would. Yeah. If you remember a lecture I gave in Maxim probably before you came in. One of the major reasons is that some of the fuqaha did not know hadith that other people knew. Yeah. Or they knew it through a weak chain and therefore they didn't apply it, while other people knew it through authentic chain. So yes, that will work.
Good point. And with his subject, the Sheikh's subject, the title of the lecture.
Well,
If he did not discuss that, then he did not discuss it.
If the narrator, Barawi, is found in either Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, may you conclude that he is يعني, thika, all times, all his hadith or thika?
There is in the class who is older than you.
I don't think so. Okay, let's put it this way. There's people in the class who look older than you. the person is thika. But he stayed with Az-Zuhri يعني, for a very short time, where he was not expert in the hadith. Or he was very young when he was with Az-Zuhri.
Why did he stay long?
Not long. Okay. Then I implied. That's the function. So this person is stuck up, but يعني, not in the hadith of Az-Zuhri. We don't accept the hadith when he narrates from Az-Zuhri. Okay.
Is this example from Kani, or this is special for Zahri?
This is special for the great scholars of Hadith. All of them, we can break down their students into these categories.
Including
he himself is Thiqa in general. But when it comes to his narrations from the Zuhri, he is not Thiqa. One example is a scholar by the name of Hushaym.
Hushaym.
I should write it in English. H. Hushaym is H.
I guess it's Hushaym.
What's it? Ha? Okay.
That's good, right?
What was the name?
Yeah, Hushaym.
Okay, Hushaym, you'll find his hadith in Sahih Bukhari. He's Thiqa. But you'll never find, he was one of the Zuhri students, you'll never find Hushaym on the Zuhri. Because in the hadith of the Zuhri, he was not strong. And he was very young at that time, he was not proficient. So we do not accept this hadith when he narrated from the Zuhri.
What's the problem with all? Means that he might have lost.
Yeah, yeah. And after he left, he lost some of his mental capabilities, made more mistakes.
But we said sometime in the past that if the anniversary attended class for Sheikh Imam Zuhri was done, and he is older than five, and his name was written in the book, and then he can narrate.
Yeah, he can narrate. Doesn't mean we'll accept it. Yeah, but what you're describing is something in the later years, Yanni, where we said we just give him a book, and he has the right to read from that book, and only that book. Okay, now we're talking about the early years, something different. Yeah.
Would you say young, younger, five,
or? Young, Yanni, before he became good in hadith. Okay, sometimes it takes a little while, Yanni, to keep the hadith in mind, and the snad in mind, and, Yanni, for example, you folks. I give you 20 hadith now with isnad, and even if you wrote them down, chances are some of you will write them down wrong and so forth, but if yani, after 1 year or two we keep studying hadith, you start recognizing the change, who was whose students, you don't mix them up, you know who was the... you know the who's who. There are some narrators who are da'if in general, but they stayed with the Zuhri for a long time, and they are experts in the Zuhri's hadith. They stayed with him for 40 years, and he has a bad memory, but when you give him the same thing for 40 years every day, he starts to pick it up a little bit. So his hadith in general, but his hadith from Zuhri are accepted.
I'm a little bit lost. Zuhri, how you came to the...
An example of a scholar of hadith. And we said that, for example, someone's hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. No. Does that mean he's Thiqa, or we accept all of his hadith no matter who we narrate from? Mm-hmm. I said no. For example, a Zuhri, we can divide his students into five categories.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And some of his students are used in Sahih Bukhari.
For example, Hushaym.
Hushaym.
Okay. Hushaym is a student of a Zuhri. His hadith is in al-Bukhari. And a Zuhri's hadith are in al-Bukhari, but you'll never see Hushaym on a Zuhri. Yeah.
What?
Never.
From other than Zuhri, huh?
Yeah, from these people.
When it becomes all of them.
You see them only from these people on Sahih Bukhari.
So the implication is for first category, we accept the hadith about from Zuhri with no doubt.
You will find these in Sahih Bukhari, you'll find these in Sahih Muslim. The first category. Yeah. The second category, on Zuhri, you will not find them. In Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim. The third category, their hadith are basically, we can call them hasan. And you'll find people in this category in Sunan Abu Dawud, and al-Tirmidhi, and books like that. Okay? The fourth categories are people who are da'if in general, and da'if in the hadith of the Zuhri.
What is about a third home? Where did you find it?
And he is da'if in general.
No,
where do you find it? Oh, where do you find it? Books like Abu Dawud, the Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, these kind of books. Okay. Fourth one is obvious, huh? Da'if in general and also in the hadith of the Zuhri.
So it's not that the Zuhri knows the da'if.
No. You're talking about his students. And the last category are people who are rejected under any circumstances. Liars, forgers of hadith, and who may have met Zuhri. Al-Matrukin, okay? Last category, Al-Matrukin.
What's the Ba'if?
Why did it say with him?
Ba'if is the difference between Ba'if and Matrukin is that
if someone has a little weakness and he's supported by other people that narrate the things exactly the same way, we may raise this hadith to a higher level, like to Hasan. But this category, no.
Why did you say with Zuhri and Mufti? I mean, what was the...
And Zuhri isn't going to say, oh, you,
quote. No, why did they waste their time? They know that people.
Why did they waste their time? I mean, they are people of not good character. So now they can say, you know, I'm one of the Zuhri students. Zuhri said such and such and such and such.
They didn't drop the card.
They didn't drop the card. One question and then we'll break.
If they stayed with the Zuhri for a long time, why did you don't find them in the hadith that they are narrating from him?
No, no. I'm sorry, which, talking about this category?
No, the second one.
The second category?
Yes.
Okay, they stood for not a long time. Did you see the number? They did not stay with Zuhri for a long time. In other words, their knowledge of Zuhri's hadith are not very good. But the knowledge in other people's hadith are good. It's tapa.
What's not a long time? I mean, they did not stay for a period that they can eat.
Yeah, it depends on the person. Some people are experts. Like Al-Bukhari, if he goes to someone for one day, he'll memorize what the person said. Mm-hmm. Other people know. They have to stay and get the same hadith. So it depends on the person. Yeah. So inshallah, we'll have our break now. Our long awaited break. I'd like to welcome you to the continuation of our 8th lecture. So if the narrator is not found in Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, can we conclude that he is not the God?
No.
Why?
Oh yeah. No. What's the question again, please?
No. If the narrator is not found in either Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, can we conclude that he is not the God?
No. Not all hadith are in Sahih Bukhari. There are.
I'm just asking about narrators.
Yeah.
Okay, not all adil narrators.
Look, and it was not the Bukhari or Muslim's intention to include just authentic, to include all authentic hadith or authentic narrators in their sahih. So, suppose there's someone who's a scholar of hadith, scholar of jahr al-ta'dil, and he narrates a hadith from someone who he doesn't name. Like, for example, Haddathani or someone who I have no doubt about has told me, so in other words, he didn't give us his name. Someone I have no doubt
about.
Why don't you mention him?
Yeah, that's a good question. What about that? For example, the Shafi, for example, many times used to say,
because he has
because the Shafi is the one, so he will not say anything which is not, he will not say about something is tikkah, it is not tikkah.
He didn't say tikkah, he said someone who I did not doubt.
Doubt?
So you say we accept him?
Since Shafi accepted it.
No. Since the Shafi is still up, he will not say anything. He's not.
Okay, no. But the is a question of ijtihad, right? Like, someone might be taqa according to Imam Shafi, because what he knows about him is he's taqa. Okay? But someone else, it's hard. Someone else, may have. Some information that the Imam Shafi doesn't have, right? So in other words, we know Imam Shafi is a scholar of Jahr al-Ta'dil also, but when he says about someone that, if he doesn't name that person, the problem is that it might be someone who he considers taqa, but in fact it may not be taqa. So although the scholars disagree on this point, some people argue like you, that they will accept it, that since he's a scholar and he says that we'll accept it. But the safer and the stronger opinion, since Jahr al-Ta'dil is a question of ijtihad, if he does not mention him, then the stronger opinion is we don't accept it. Now there's some scholars who only, next question.
Isn't there a famous case
one person is Ahmad al-Shafi'i.
The famous case of Imam Shafi'i, his name is somewhere in this chapter. Imam Shafi'i is the only scholar who said this person is dumb. Okay, there's a certain narrator. Imam Shafi'i is the only scholar who concluded that he's dumb. Everyone else said he's ayyub.
He said Tikka or Mutahatta?
I'm talking now about Sunni. And even Imam al-Nawawi, one of the greatest Shafi'i scholars, he said it was obvious that Imam al-Shafi'i was wrong in this. By the way, about Yahya ibn Ma'in, when he said about the Imam al-Shafi'i, he said he's not Tikka. Some people said, and I don't know if this is correct, they said that Yahya was talking about Imam al-Shafi'i's uncle, not Imam al-Shafi'i himself. Suppose an Adl...
You mentioned this one. The only one who said the word someone is Tikka.
I'm sorry?
So what? What's the question? Then that Imam Shafi'i mentioned he's the only one who...
Yeah, he said, isn't there an example of a case, for example, like where Shafi'i said he's Tikka? This is evidence that we should not accept anyone's statement if he says yani haddathani Tikka without mentioning who the person is. There's a question of ijtihad.
My point was, there was a person that Shafi'i always say haddathani man la attahim, because Ahmed always has
in general people know who he's talking about. His students know who he's talking about, actually. For example, if Imam Malik said haddathani Tikka, he means Amr ibn Shu'ayb. Yani, if he says حدثني إيش؟ لا, I mean if he says حدثني ثقة عن عمر بن ابن شويد, he means عمر بن الحرب. Okay, so they know. يعني, for example, if he said حدثني ثقة عن ابن عمر, he means no. So يعني, his students know who he's talking about. That's a different case.
But Shafi case?
لا, Shafi maybe. I don't have it in front of me right here.
Why did they say حدثني ثقة? Why didn't they say نافع عن ابن عمر?
Because it's well known. Everyone knows who he's talking about. So it's like giving نافع more of a... Don't even use his name anymore. You just call him ثقة. حدثني ثقة عن نافع. Everyone knows you're talking about نافع.
Two lectures in one, huh? علم الرجال and حديث.
So that's a different case. And if the students know who he's talking about, then we can accept it.
But what about the same case? And how should the other reader know this person?
Yeah, so if there's someone, for example, me, I read yani, that Imam Malik said حدثني ثقة عن عمر بن شعيب, and I have no idea who he's talking about, I would have to say yani, I cannot accept this. Yani, I don't say it's weak, I don't say it's sahih, but I cannot make judgment on it until I find out who that person is.
Unless they have... footnote saying that.
Unless the footnote like here says yani, now suppose an adl narrator narrates from someone and he mentions that person's name. For example, suppose I'm adl, or I narrate hadith haddathani Na'ib from Sa'ib.
I'm adl?
That's the question. Does that mean that he is adl also?
From Sa'ib?
No. You mean because of from Sa'ib or from
Sa'ib? Because I'm adl.
No.
Yani, if I'm adl and I'm narrating hadith from someone, does that mean in my point of view that this person must also be adl?
Yes.
Adl or Tikka, let's say Tikka. I mentioned his name. Haddathani Na'ib. Wa ana Tikka. Does that mean that Na'ib must be Tikka?
You didn't mention that he's Tikka?
No, I just think Haddathani Tikka. Yani, in other words, that someone narrating on someone else's authority implies that that person is also Tikka.
If you are a critic,
even if I'm a critic, let's say I'm a critic.
No, it doesn't have
to. It should be. You're a critic.
Hadith.
And the one
who was
narrating.
Okay.
You have to go to the five opinions.
What?
The five opinions. Which, yani, ثقة مطلقة ولا ثقة مفسرة.
ثقة مفسرة.
No, this is this is a principle, a maxim. This is the case that if someone is Tikka and he knows about Jahr al-Ta'dil, he narrates from someone else and mentions his name, Does that mean the other person left his tefah?
Did you say his tefah?
Obviously no. They say yes.
Did you say his tefah? Did you
say
yes? His first. No way.
No. No way. Okay, you say yes, we'll get to you in a minute. These people say no. Why not?
Because he could neglect from him and say this guy is known for this. But you neglect from him. That's what you neglect from him.
We say
not. It didn't say anything.
Everyone I come to say tiqa or not in the same hadith setting.
I'm saying that.
For example, if on Monday I gave you a lecture about adil or defects in hadith or about weak narrators, and I mentioned some, then on Thursday if I mention these narrators, I don't have to mention again that this one's weak and this one's not.
So, but you mentioned some.
I may have mentioned it 3 months earlier.
But it's in your book.
It's somewhere.
I can come back and check.
Hey.
No problem.
Hey, first of all, with respect to weak narrators, suppose there's someone who is adil, but not 100% valid. Okay? Yani, he's so little valid that in fact he would be called da'if. Okay?
Something
Why would I narrate his hadith?
Maybe to support other claims of God's authority.
Okay, either to support or, and in order to know this hadith, in order that if there is some other support, someone has the same hadith through a different chain, he can support him. So even if the narrator is weak, we still have to pass on his hadith. We also do it to spot his mistakes, to see where his mistake and where he's written.
This guy by changing my mind.
Oh, thank you. But most of them.
Maybe you have to specify the exact meaning of adil and tiqa. Because the first thing comes in my, to my mind that you use both of them.
Okay, I said, he is weak when it comes to his lawlessness.
Okay.
But he is adil. Adil means what? He performs the wajibat, he stays away from his muhrimat, he has muru'at. That's all it means.
And tiqa?
Tiqa means he's both adil and valid.
Okay, and this was your question.
Yeah.
You said tiqa.
Yeah, I'm saying that if I am tiqa and I say that I say hadathni naif, can we assume that he's tiqa?
Naif, tiqa, not the sheikh.
Not me, I'm tiqa of course. Talking about the one I'm narrating from.
No, but tiqa, if you are not, I don't know. He must be adil and
valid. Adil and valid,
yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is that if he's adil and not valid, we still narrate this hadith. Okay, because we know that he didn't fabricate it. The problem is he makes mistakes. So if we can remove this possibility of error by finding the same hadith narrated by other people, and they support each other, then we conclude that it's a correct hadith. This is not one of his mistakes, it's one of his correct narrations.
Okay, because they thought that you said he is tiqa. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to
say that. But if we listen to the tape, can we still take it while we're listening to it? I said that if I am tiqa and I narrate from Nayak, then we assume that Nayak must be tiqa?
No, he can be adil but tiqa. What's the relation between this and the...
Okay, I'm saying that if I am tiqa, okay, I still may narrate hadith from weak narrators. I still narrate hadith from people who are not tiqa, especially if they are adil but not tawaf. In order to know their hadith,
يعني the problem is with his hadith is we know that he's not lying, but he may have made a mistake. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's
okay. So he made a mistake. Okay, mistake. Now we find someone else like Abu Saud who's similar to him makes a lot of mistakes, but inshallah he's hazim. Okay. Okay. Now I narrate this hadith. If I don't narrate this hadith will be dead. Will be forgotten. Okay. So, but I have to pass it on to the next generation. So what we find is that this narration from Naif is supported by Abu Saud's narration. So we can conclude that this is not one of Naif's mistakes, because Abu Saud supports him in exactly the same way.
Can we say he's tipping his that particular hadith?
No, we don't say like that.
So it's not enough, you have to check the other way, that's what you are saying.
Yes, so since we have to check through other chains, that means we have to continue to know his hadith. So even though he's weak, we have to continue to pass on his hadith.
But we don't know if he's weak or not, we are just asking, is he...
No. Yani, what I'm saying, going back to the original question, is that we cannot assume just because I'm Thiqa that everyone I narrate from is Thiqa. Because I would still be narrating from weak narrators for this reason. Okay? Number two, yani maybe I don't know if he's Thiqa or not. I am Thiqa, but I don't know if he's Thiqa or not. Right?
This is assuming you know. First case, right?
Huh?
First case, assuming you know that he...
Yeah, the narrator knows that he's weak, but he still narrates that.
But he doesn't have the right to narrate hadith unless he knows what category he is.
No. Why?
We narrate hadith from someone, from anyone.
Yeah, as long as we give the isnad and give all the information, nothing wrong with it. We may not use it as a proof. Okay, there's a difference between passing on hadith and using hadith in fiqh or in sharia and these things. If I don't know if he's fiqh or not, I cannot use the hadith as a proof. But I can pass it on as information that this person said this, so and so back to the Prophet said it. So the narrator or the fiqh narrator may not know. So therefore, even though I'm fiqh, it doesn't mean that the one I'm narrating hadith from, all of them are necessarily fiqh. There are some scholars of hadith though who are known. Okay. They were known to only narrate hadith from people who they considered to be thiqah. Okay. For example, Imam Malik, with respect to the people he narrated from Medina, okay. Imam Malik would never narrate from anyone from Medina who was weak. He would only narrate from thiqah authorities. That was the only one of his conditions. He would not pass on the hadith of weak people. In other words, he didn't apply this principle. Other scholars did, he did not.
I narrate Thiqa narrators. You narrate from other weak, if you are Thiqa. You will narrate from weak narrators?
Yeah, I may. Because
no, if you don't know, forget about this.
Or I may. I don't know if it's Thiqa. Yeah, I will still pass on his hadith. So I will not use it as Hujjah, I will not say it's a Sahih hadith. Because I don't know. But I will pass it on to other, I will record it in my book and pass it on to other people. And those people may know that person and know whether it's him.
Is that without a description?
Of course, if I don't know. I just say Hadathani Naif.
What's the second point? May not know.
Yani Ana Thiqa, okay? And I narrate hadith from Naif. Okay? I will pass those hadith on, but I may not know if Naif is Thiqa or not. And another reason that they used to do it, they used to record the pass on hadith, is in order to know the chain. Okay, in order to know the way the hadith is passed on. Let me give you a story, inshallah, explain it. Yahya ibn Ma'in used to record the hadith of Ma'amr and Aban. عن أنس
الحسن أبان
ألف باء ألف نون
أبان
لا 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 أبان أبان
أبان يحيى ابن معين used to record the hadith معمر عن أبان عن أنس okay. He used to record this hadith and think this hadith
And he used to tell these people, tell people these hadith. Yani what this is not.
Ma'amar. Ma'amar, not Amr.
This is yani how the students of hadith used to do it. They used to keep an eye on the one who was recording the hadith. So okay, so Ahmed ibn Hanbal asked him, Yahya, why are you recording this hadith and stating this hadith?
What's wrong with it?
Oh, okay. Aban is the forger of hadith. Aban is the forger of hadith. He was one of the Rafida. He fabricated hadith. Makes them up.
Aban who?
Aban bin Taghlib.
His name is?
Taghlib.
Taghlib.
Taghlib. So he asked him, okay, he asked him, why are you doing this? So he answered him. He said, oh, Abu Abdullah, you know Abu Abdullah?
Ahmed.
He told him, because Ahmed is the one who asked him. That's for those of you who are listening. He said, I write these pages, and I memorize all these hadith, and I know that they are fabricated. But I do so in order for no one to come along later and change the isnad from Amr, An Thabit, and Anas. In other words, to know yani, what the isnad is, who are the people in the isnad, how is it being transmitted.
You said Thabit?
Thabit.
I mean, you mean change it from Aban to Thabit?
Yeah, change the name from Aban, who was the forger, to Thabit, who was Thiqa. See? So also, yani, just to know the hadith.
Gotcha.
Yani, just to know, yani, this person is weak, he's very weak, but he's narrating in this way. Okay? And in other words, also to know the hadith, they may take hadith from people who are not accepted.
And to keep hadith ba'if.
To know the hadith, that is. There's a story about someone who taught his son something like 1,500 hadith, and after he taught them all, he said all those hadith are fabricated. Now, whenever you hear them, you'll know they're fabricated, and they'll go out and learn the real hadith. So we need to know the weak chains also.
So we know the stay away from the Quran.
Yeah. Have some time. You don't have to. Sharaf.
No, Allah, I didn't mean.
Okay, here's the case. Suppose there's someone who is adil or taqa. Like, for example, I am taqa. I don't know why I always use me as an example of taqa. And I narrate a hadith from Naif. And Naif is also taqa.
Alhamdulillah.
For first time. Salaam. One who called him a liar was Yahya ibn Ra'in. So we don't...
Yeah, make sure that we're making ikhtilaf.
Good point. So I narrate a hadith from Naif. Naif denies narrating this hadith. He says, Yahya, I did not narrate this hadith to
you.
Okay, first of all, let's take another case. Suppose he forgot the hadith. Yani, I said, Naif, you told me this hadith? And he said, no, I don't remember this hadith. Happens to me a lot. Many people tell me, remember 5 years ago you said something? No, I don't know. Any problem with that?
One of you is not loud.
Yani, are you Yahya ibn Ra'in class? He forgets one hadith, he's not bad.
How does he get this is the more Yahya
ibn Ra'in. There's nothing wrong with that, yani, that situation. There are some hadith, you'll find them, where the scholar says, for example, there's a scholar named Suhail. Yeah, there's a scholar named Suhail. Well, his student was Rabi'ah. Rabi'ah said the hadith. Suhail forgot it. So Suhail afterwards used to narrate the hadith saying, Rabi'ah narrated it on my authority and he is thiqa. Then I said, nothing wrong with that. It's just possible for him to have forgotten it. And the scholars of hadith say the probability that the sheikh forgot it is greater than the probability that the thiqa narrator says he heard it from that sheikh. Now how did they conclude that? I'm not sure. But they...
he
admitted that he may have forgotten.
Because the sheikh has more students than a student has suq.
Not a Tabarani.
Yeah, okay.
طيب but what about the other case now?
الشيخ فوق أفضل ممكن يكون السهيل الشيخ يعني found support for his for this student.
لا he said يعني he said this ربيع ثقة حدثني ربيع عني وهو ثقة عندي.
لا
That's a problem. What do we do in this case? Okay, we can check through other chains to see who is correct, but let's just...
What's the difference between...
No, the first case is he said, I forgot, I don't remember this case. Second case is categorically denying this hadith. What do we do in that case? Do we say that Naif, yani now, do we make the tajrih for him? Do we make the tajrih for me? Do we accept the hadith?
That's three. Yeah.
10 opinions and more.
I don't think you should accept anything.
Okay, what about the first two questions? See, now he can call me a liar and I can call him a liar. So what happens in a case like this is we don't make the jury for either one. We know one of them was mistaken. And if this happens a lot, especially with a certain chef, then we know that this chef is something wrong with him. But at the same time, we don't accept the hadith either. We wait until further clarification, until other sources are found. No, we will not say. We will narrate the hadith. We'll narrate the hadith that we'll mention it. But we will not say that the hadith is sahih or hasan until we can find some other evidence for it. And by the way, Al-Zarqutni and Al-Baghdadi and Al-Suyuti have all written books about people who narrated hadith and then later they forgot their hadith or they said they did not narrate them.
What's the third one of these?
Al-Suyuti. He's always the third one. Al-Zarqutni and Al-Baghdadi and Al-Suyuti. Al-Suyuti is, you know, very much later than the other scholars.
9/11.
Okay.
Okay,
how about this situation? Suppose there's someone who is Rumfi Adam or Sifa that we don't know his name. We just know him, for example, as Ibn Sha'ud. Bring the royal family to the room. Huh? Yeah, but we don't know his first name. We just know him as, for example. Or we just know him by a nickname.
Do you have to know his first name?
I don't know, I'm asking you.
No. This is the name.
No, in this case, Ibn Sa'ud is like Heraqil or Qaisar.
We know who he is, but we don't really know his name. Like Abu Huraira, for example. What was Abu Huraira's name?
Abdurrahman.
Is that right? Yeah. There's about 35 different opinions about what Abu Huraira's name is. The important thing is to know whether it's the or not. Okay. How about someone? This is why I know.
So this guy is the official one that we learn.
This is probably the strongest. How about someone who takes wages, takes money for their income?
Have it all.
Come on, how about it should be loved? Is there anything wrong with taking wages for narrating hadith? In other words, getting paid for teaching hadith.
Yes.
No problem.
You might have to get hadith, but sometimes you need more money.
This is Amr Sha'bi. Amr Sha'bi here was a little bit tough. He said, don't take hadith from the fuqara because they make up hadith for money.
Yeah,
propensity. The Sarihin would say, Sheikh, this is a kind of discrimination.
What is it?
The Sarihin. Discrimination against the poor people.
I would take it based on the third point, the shame maybe.
No, I mean, do we accept him as thiqa, or can we accept, can we say that yani he is acceptable?
Neither nor is he.
Okay, is it allowed to take money for teaching the Quran?
Yes.
Yes. Quran, his opinion is yes, you may take money, because the Prophet ﷺ says the thing that you have most right, the most right to take money for is teaching the Quran. From the state, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we don't care where the money's from right now. Okay, what we can conclude, yani, concerning the one who takes money to narrate hadith, we cannot conclude that just because he takes money, he's unacceptable. We cannot make that.
Did you mention Quran to make qiyas for hadith?
Yes.
So, but the Quran, you cannot add up anything. It's all known, yeah. What hadith? You mean?
If you take money from
But if someone yani, like teaching Quran, he wants to make up tafsir to be a bigger teacher and have more people yani.
I think you cannot be a scholar of hadith and probably resign.
Okay, most of the early scholars of hadith, by the way, they supported themselves. Because they were businessmen and at the same time studying hadith. I mean, they were not like that. They were not 24-hour day. It was a 24-hour day, and they would take up and use that time. Many of the teachers, if they were, okay, easier than now.
Maybe simpler.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have to travel 1 month for one hadith.
Easy.
Now you just pick up the phone and say, "Send me a fax." Before, yani, they used to have to write the hadith with, yani, they didn't have any good quality, they didn't just sit and type on it.
No, this is, you understand me wrong, not this case, for yani, the kind of thing that you need for your life.
Go to any farmer and ask him if life is easy.
Yeah, easy.
Farmer, many times they get up at 6 and they don't come back until 9.
Yeah, but you need to have, like now you go to
that's not what somewhere, you need to buy them. Not what you need to have, it's how much time it takes for you to get what you need. That's a big difference. Anyway, what were we talking about? Hey, sometimes if the sheikh was rich, and if the sheikh had money, he used to support his students. Like Abu Hanifa, he used to give. Researchers. Abu Hanifa used to give money to his students to support them. If he found someone who was good, and he said, he would say, "Yani, this person, and don't expect this from me." Yani, he used to, of course, not that any of you are really good so far. Also, Imam Malik used to give money to his students. He gave money to Imam Shafi'i.
No, that means does now.
Same?
Oh yeah. Free housing. Oh.
What kind?
But so, yani, just because someone is taking money, yani, for teaching hadith, we cannot conclude. And just because that he's not thick or that he's thick.
About 5 minutes. Let's.
Okay. Then we'll not start the next category is Bob. We're basically we've been talking about Adam, now we'll talk about Bob. Any questions so far?
The difference between narrating hadith and teaching hadith. If you give money for anyone to narrate hadith, there's some motivation for him to speak of hadith. Teaching hadith, different.
In the early years, yani, what you mean by narrating and teaching is about the same thing. Someone sits and sets a certain time that he will give hadith to other people that he knows. Yeah, nowadays for sure it's something completely different.
But do they have some monopoly for hadith? This is the point.
Monopoly?
Yeah. That I have some hadith, I will not tell you until you get to it.
There are some people who are known to do that. Really?
You have many hitters. But this is not kind of hard. You were talking earlier about the lecture. Not the
what?
So, because there are so many ifs and buts. The hadith, the narrating, and the characteristics, categories, how one can be called a thiqa and adha. You know, there's so many criteria.
So does it allow
there are not that many ifs and buts, especially if you were alive at that time. Now when we look back at it, and it looks more difficult than it was at that time, the situation that happens, people who are actually involved in these things, and things were much clearer to them than like what we have now. But looking back at it, makes it look more difficult than it was at that time.
Seems it's very, we'll discuss it later for sure, but conclusion comes to my mind that there is certain characteristic in hadith to be used as evidence for something, right?
And
for
hadith to be acceptable?
No, to be used as dalil.
Hey, in other words,
yeah. Maqbool, yeah. Acceptable. Yeah. So I mean, acceptable as dalil, not just acceptable as hadith. Because he said that we don't mention this hadith. For example, first case or
something. Hey, there's a difference between a hadith existing and a hadith being acceptable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're heading toward.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Correct conclusion. Oh, sure.
Sure. Sure. Sure. You got
that point.
This is the main goal.
It's the main goal?
Goal.
It's the main goal.
How can you make hadith?
How can you make it
here? I mean, there are so many topics which are already covered. How can you come out with a hadith and not contradict the hadith?
What do you say? You mean fabricate hadith?
Yeah, fabricate.
Fabricate hadith?
Yes.
This is very difficult to fabricate hadith.
But you gave an example of somebody fabricating 1500 hadith.
No, I never said that.
I said the Sheikh gave his students.
Yeah, I said
1500 hadith, said those are mobile.
It's easy to fabricate hadith, but it's near impossible to try to get that hadith to be accepted by the scholars.
How did they realize that the 15 hadith are mobile? Because it's not easy to put one that people will not rely on.
You, not
anybody.
Yeah, it's almost dead.
Maybe people will hadith.
You wanted to click?